Nalindilele pakufa kamangu kababemba kalila.
Through this song, I remember and celebrate the life of Zambia's unsung heroes. I remember Robinson Puta, Titus Mukupo, Lawrence Katilongu, Michael Chileshe, Patu Simoko, Timi Mvula, Teddy Chilambe, Spock Chola, Brian Chwangu, Godfrey Chitalu, Alex Chola, and the unnamed mothers, daughters, and sisters that have inspired us all for the greater good of this country. So hear me out.
Good morning and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. It's Saturday, December 2nd, and we do thank you for joining us from wherever you are joining us from, you are listening from. This is your radio show and your radio station. We are excited to be here today as we look at issues of inter-party dialogue in Zambia as we wait to be joined by our guests, and we have a great show lined up for you today, and we hope that you will be ready and set to be part of this conversation. Matilda, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan.
Okay, are you ready for a discussion?
Yes, we are ready. We've been gearing up for this conversation ever since the news broke out. Good morning, Zambia Block Talk Radio. Good afternoon, good evening to everyone listening.
Yes, we are glad to be joined by everybody listening on this second day of December. Amazing how the year has gone by very quickly. And we shall be crossing over to Lusaka here. We always say Lusaka. We never know which part of Zambia our guest is joining us from. But as soon as we are ready, we shall be joined here by the executive director for Zambia. Hello?
Our guest is on the line.
Our guest is on the line. Okay, excellent. This morning, for those of us who are in the Americas, Canada, and part of this world, good afternoon, Europe. Good evening, the Western world of Russia, Japan, and afternoon, Africa. Our discussion today is a quest for dialogue. A lot of people have said that it's futile or it doesn't mean anything because political parties, when they take power or they win elections, they tend to have a tendency of defiance. But however, we are honored and privileged to have Ms. Monica Kanjimana, Executive Director for Zambia Center for Interparty Dialogue, to discuss with us their work and how this has been working out in Zambia. She's going to discuss a lot of things with us. Ms. Kanjimana, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing? It's an honor to be on your program this afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, let me say it's an honor for us to have you on such short notice. It speaks volumes about how much you value your work and the importance for you to disseminate this information. Let me begin by saying, when was ZCID established and what are its main objectives?
Okay, the Zambia Center for Interparty Dialogue was initiated in 2002 by Zambian political parties, and it was conceived out of the desire to promote democratic governance and foster greater cooperation and dialogue among political parties in Zambia. So ZCID is a registered trust under the Land Perpetuation Act, and our secretariat was finally set up in October of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So our objectives are far and varied, but I'll start with our vision, which is to be Zambia's foremost umbrella institution of political parties. And we defend and promote multi-party democracy, governance, gender equity, mm-hmm. and respect for constitutionalism and the rule of law and human rights.
Okay.
So our mandate, as earlier mentioned, is to consolidate democratic governance, and amongst the many objectives that define our trust, is to strengthen and promote institutional and human capacity of political parties.
Mm.
May I repeat that our mandate is primarily two political parties in Zambia, and we endeavor to consolidate and deepen their ability to be able to perform as pillars of a vibrant multi-party democracy.
Mm. Excellent.
So we do have a range of objectives which are consistent with our trust, which is to promote, for instance, multi-party democracy. So under that objective, we do target political parties and try to strengthen their ability to perform as political parties and be rivals, either in opposition or as a ruling party. So under the ZCID hospices, all political parties are perceived as equal. All political party leaders are respected and are given the due respect that they deserve as political party leaders. And we also have objectives that pertain to human rights, promotion of human rights, promotion of gender equity, enhancement of democracy, and also respect of the rule of law of the land.
So excellent.
I'll probably take too much time going around the objectives that we do have.
That is sufficient enough. And let me say that I'm glad that you've also mentioned gender equity. We shall get into that, because after our interview with you, our next discussion is the issue of sexual harassment in the workplace. In the African context, and Zambia for that matter, how effective would you say your work has been?
I'm sorry, you were cutting. I didn't really quite get your question.
I said in the Zambian context and Africa for that matter, you heard my opening remarks. I said when parties tend to win elections and they form government, there's a tendency to be defiant. How would you, how effective has your work been in Zambia for that matter?
Okay. Our work has been very key in trying to promote, for instance, democracy in our nation. If you recall, multipartism was a foreign concept in 1991 when NMD came into power. And ZCID was conceived because political parties felt they needed a platform and a forum in which they could learn from one another to be more democratic and more accommodating to different views. So as a platform that promotes multipartism, I think we've done our work quite well. I will not be so vain as to say that we've been effective throughout the years since its inception. But I can say that we have been trying our best in ensuring that we try to promote the tenets that promote democracy and pushing forward our mandate as an institution to ensure that our citizenry is confident of the political parties that are in play, and also to ensure that the political parties are strengthened so that they can play the role that they have to play, which is show leadership and they can be held accountable to the public and to the constituents that put them in power.
Excellent. In a typical summit, let me call it a dialogue setup, where party representatives, probably even party presidents for that matter, have come for a meeting which has been called, what would be the typical atmosphere, or would you come up with resolutions, or how do you address issues? For example, one of the matters that has really been an issue in our country is violence among political cadres. Just give us a scenario of a typical meeting and how it goes.
Okay, so I will not lie to you and tell you that we have this summit of presidents every year. ZCID in the past has had a challenge in convening the summit of presidents simply because there's been a lack of political will from our leaders. But I am very pleased to announce to you and to the world over that finally we've got leadership that is in place, that is seeing the importance of having these meetings and the value of sitting together with peers and comrades in ironing out issues that are pertaining to national interest. So, to answer your question as regards to a particular meeting where we have leaders coming together, I'll give an example of the Political Parties Bill Consultative Forum, which ZCID convened not only 2 months ago, where we called Secretary Generals of all the political parties to come together and review a piece of legislation. And we made it known to all our stakeholders who are the political parties the importance of meeting together and being able to review this piece of legislation, which will not only regulate their functions but also provide funding to their respective political parties. And I can state very confidently that we were able to have an atmosphere where we had comrades working together for the good of the nation. And I state here that when it comes to issues of national interest and issues that affect political party operations, we are able to have that meeting and convene high-level political party members to come together and work and be able to come up with a common agenda and a common resolution. And that is communicated through communiques that will be able to disseminate to the media on their position, their collective position. So typically, such a meeting, we endeavor to ensure let our members know, and that is the confidence that they have in ZCID, that we are a neutral platform. In so much as we call political rivals to come together, we make it known to them that when they come to the ZCID platform, they have to put aside their partisan views and focus on the national interest and a non-partisan focus, which will move and drive the country into progress and development. So on that aspect, we've been really effective, and I must commend our political parties that they have really shown patriotism and the spirit of nationalism when it comes to moving the national agenda forward.
Excellent. That it's good to hear that, and that those are some of the things that happens. The plight of the small party, Mrs. Kanjimana. You know, in our country, we have this situation where at any point in time, you have these two major rival parties. What has been the role or the voice of the small political party? I even hate to use the word small political party. Would you comment on that?
Sure. Just point of correction, it's Ms. Kanjimana. And, you know, the political parties that are crying out to the media and being perceived as not having a voice, it's really unfortunate. Under the ZCID hospices, and I can speak for every political party that is affiliated to ZCID, and all of them numbering 30 in Zambia, including the major, the so-called major. But let me put it very clear to you that under the ZCID hospices, we do not know what a big party and a small party is. Under our lens, all political parties are equal. And when we call them to a platform, we expect them to behave in that manner. There's no animal farm where we have got more parties being more equal than others. And I'm sure the political parties that are affiliated to us will attest to the fact that when it comes to convening dialogue platforms, even platforms where they're able to meet with, for instance, the Commonwealth, we've called all political parties, the UPND, the PF, ADD, MND, FDD, all the other political parties which are perceived or sort of are small. We call all of them and bring them to a platform where they are able to dialogue and express their voice collectively. So that assertion and that notion should be dispelled from the very beginning. And I appeal to all those political parties which are, and I do realize, we did do our research and find out that in Zambia, according to the Registrar of Societies, we do have 68 political parties that are registered.
68.
Unfortunately, not all of those are under the ZPID umbrella. So we would like to appeal to them and tell them to please feel free to come to our secretariat and register with ZPID so that when we are holding these meetings, they are also invited. But for the 30 that are affiliated to us, we can say very confidently that they are given that voice. And that assumption of a small or big party is not in the ZCID vocabulary.
Okay. That's good to know. So when you say...
let me just give confidence to... Sorry to interrupt you. Let me just give an example and also put the heart of other political parties that may not be privy to some of this information because maybe they are not affiliated to ZCID, that when we convene the Summit of Presidents, we will endeavor and ensure to invite every political party whose address and phone number we will be able to find. So let me make an appeal to all those political parties that may not have updated their contact details on at Registrar of Societies to do so. So that ZCID can be able to reach them, to be able to contribute to this very important meeting, which is supposed to start the processes that will ensure a just 2021. Because we want to have a collective agenda coming from the political parties on how we should move forward in ensuring that 2021 is not a repetition of what happened in 2016.
Excellent. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We are discussing the quest for political dialogue with the Zambia Center for Interparty Dialogue Executive Director, Monica Kanjimana. My next question to you is that, like I said, I was glad that you mentioned issues of gender equality, equity or equality, human rights. Who are the other key players to this process of the dialogue in the country?
The fact that the Zambian political scene has been marred by violence during elections has affected women participation adversely.
Yes.
Because by nature, women will not be in a place where violence is taking place and conflict is rife. So we as ZCID have identified that there are certain issues in the Constitution, in the electoral processes, that have been affecting women participation in government and election. And we, moving forward, have come up with a strategic direction which will target all these key areas, such as women participation in governance, youth participation in governance. We'll also touch on reconstructive. We'll touch on the independence of the Electoral Commission of Zambia, the confidence that the stakeholders in the Electoral Commission of Zambia have as well will be targeted. The media, if you remember 2016, there was polarized reporting where it was very difficult for a common Zambian to be able to make an informed decision simply because media was polarized. It was either you listen to the propaganda which is being propagated by the opposition or the propaganda from the main party. And we are appealing to the media to be more professional in our country. And we realize that there is a gap in capacity. And we need to ensure that our media colleagues are professional in the way that they're reporting. That's where they give people information that will enable them to come up with a decision which is objective in terms of voting or in terms of following an ideology. So all these issues and aspects have been identified in ZCID, and we are working in collaboration with our development partners in ensuring that moving forward, which is 2018 to 2020, before the election of 2021, we would have touched on institutional reform, and by that I mean reform of the ECZ in ensuring that we advocate for its independence. And I'm touching on constitutional and the elections reform, issues of the Public Order Act, the way it was implemented, and the way that the police are able to interact with, for instance, the political parties and the public during an election. All those issues are going to be touched on, and we pray that our interventions will improve the way the relations are between political parties and the public and the political and the police. And we're also touching on reforms such as that are going to touch on the Concord. You know, the Constitutional Court in Zambia was only recently established, and it has no precedent. 2016 has had the most number of petitions, and these petitions up to date are still being heard. And we are saying this should not be the scenario a year after elections. How do we move forward to ensure that the democratic space is protected and is not marred by inconsistencies in the law, inconsistencies in legal frameworks that establish, for instance, institutions like the ECZ and the Constitutional Court? And also, how do we strengthen our political parties, our political players, to ensure that they know their role that they have to play and not just mislead the public by saying any sort of rhetoric that they can come up with, but ensure that even the language that they use is palatable? And also, how do we strengthen the youth's capacity that they are not used as tools of violence, but made aware that they can play a more vital and vibrant role within their political party structures? So we have our whole work cut out for us for the next 4 or 5 years, and ZCID is going to review and recommend various ways in which we're going to work towards 2021 being a just and fair democratic space for all political players. I mean, we have been advocating and we have moved forward the political parties bill, which is a piece of legislation which will encourage political parties to improve their relations with women. And by that, I mean they will encourage women to take on more roles in political parties at party level, more leadership roles, more decisive-making roles, as opposed to the roles that they're relegated to now, where they just have to dance at airports and dance during whatever function is taking place, but take up those roles where their voice is heard at governance level. And also, the political parties bill will make political parties more accountable in terms of where are they getting their financing and what ideology are they following, what agenda are they pushing forward. So this law is very progressive, and we are praying and we will monitor this legislation as ZCID, because we were the ones who initiated it through the political parties, and we will not let government use that law to now enforce themselves and regulate political parties by making them be unable to perform as political parties, because there's a very slim chance if we allow that this law can be used for evil. It
That's
can
true.
Be used by the government if it is left in its state to, for instance, control political parties and the opposition in particular. So as the CID, we are taking a keen interest in monitoring its implementation and ensuring that the bill is passed in the most democratic way as possible and left with as much autonomy, such as does not give too much power to the ruling party, whichever ruling party will be.
Yes.
So we
Excellent.
Are looking at electoral reforms and constitutional reforms in that way, and also the enforcement of the Public Order Act. There have been outcries from the public and the politicians on how the law was enforced. Infringement on politicians' rights to be able to campaign, for instance, and hold a rally, and the police brutality when it comes to opposition members of political parties. And so we are looking at reviewing the Public Order Act. And by 2018 February, ZCID through political parties would have submitted a report to Ministry of Justice, which will suggest recommendations, if any, to how the political parties, the Public Order Act should be implemented. So ZCID is very busy in ensuring that the 2021 platform is more democratic, more just, freer, and fair. And the EFZ is an autonomous body which has the confidence of these key stakeholders who are the political parties.
Excellent. You are the full plate and the busy 2-3 years ahead of you. And we shall definitely ensure that we keep up with you frequently and checking in occasionally. Let's talk about the Commonwealth Special Envoy's visit to Zambia. Would you like to tell us about that and what has been going on behind the scenes?
Okay. I first of all would like to say thank you to Special Envoy from the Commonwealth, Professor Gambari. He's been really amazing in trying to ensure that our two political party leaders who have brought the country at standstill in terms of how we moved forward in terms of development and also the political environment, in ensuring that they come together and try to reason as to what the common national agenda should be. We did write as an institution, the CID did write to the Special Envoy and to the Commonwealth in particular, the first time they made contact with Zambia. And we met.
Hello, I think we lost her. Matilda, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I think we lost her.
Are you there?
By the way, let me see if I can get her back. I'll call you. Bye.
Okay, we just text me when she's ready. We just have a few minutes here. We shall conclude within a few minutes here and then. Okay. Matilda, are you on the switchboard? I'm in trouble here.
I'm on the switchboard.
I'm in trouble here. My computer's gone crazy. Can you just unmute Dr. Patrick for me?
Not a problem. Well, did your computer send a message to my computer? Give me a moment too. I'm intrigued with what she has said, Vanessa. As she mentioned, the work that they started has influenced so much, but it's easy for them to be sidelined or stepped over because even though she said we are all equal. But, you know, they are, in essence, a small party, you know. So it's amazing that such something big like this was started by a small group. And don't overlook the small guy. Dr. Patrick, the line has been unmuted. Good morning.
Dr. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you, sir?
It's a pleasure to... It's a pleasure to hear all of you.
Ah, great. I'm sure you've been following the conversation with our guest. To what extent, Dr. Patrick, is the inter-party political party dialogue effective if the main party or player does not respect and honor the Constitution?
Well, it's not effective unless and until the inter-parties can demonstrate a strong constituency. Mm-hmm. Once the parties can demonstrate a strong constituency and they can bring to the voting booths the ballot of their party in large numbers, that's when they will become important. So I would not concern myself with the major party or opposing parties. I would concern myself with organizing the vote. And once you get that, then you automatically brought to the table.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Because, you see, this is basically my argument. And for the information of everybody listening, Matilda, the reason I reached out to the executive director for Zambia Center for Interparty Dialogue is that I've seen all these meetings going on with the Commonwealth Special Envoy to bring the political parties to the table in Zambia to talk about the issues going on there. That's why I asked the question, Matilda. I said, how effective is your work and what is going on? Because do the political parties honor what is agreed upon, what is resolved in these meetings? And to Dr. Patrick's point, I think the key thing is that we spend a lot of time, on, you know, bickering and things like that. But I think the important thing is organize the vote. Organize the vote. I don't know what you think on that.
But Nathan, I wasn't sure if you were addressing me or Dr. Patrick.
No, I mean, either you or Dr. Patrick can respond.
I agree. The vote has to be organized. And, you know, if it's strategically done, it can set a new precedent on how things ought to be, you know. People do observe, whether it's a small organization or government, outside, international, that's what I mean. They do observe these things, and it can be a model that can be used for other countries or other political parties or how the system can be improved, you know. The vote has got to be organized.
And that's not to say a party or intermediate party should not attend these meetings. Because a party is not 2, 3, 4 individuals. There is a good number of individuals in each party. So if you prefer to send maybe 4 or 5 individuals to the meeting, that's great. But that leaves, if you have 100 members, that leaves 96 individuals that can go out and gather the vote, and organize the vote. So you can do two things. You don't have to be exclusively dedicated to one particular activity. So go to the meetings and get the vote.
Excellent. Uncle Daniel, thanks for coming back and for the effort to try and unfortunately, we can't reconnect our guests. Probably our phone has died I've been trying to reach out to them during the week, and we had a bit, we only managed to do it like 30, 40 minutes before the show, like seven.
Sorry, Vanessa, I was on a mute. Yes, that's correct.
Yes. Yeah. Dr. Patrick, we only managed to get like 30, 40 minutes before the show. So we really appreciate and commend her for taking the time to talk to us. Probably she wasn't that ready. Let's say your thoughts on what you heard Mrs. Kanjumana discuss with us.
Thank you, Vanessa, for the opportunity. And before you just got on the radio, you know, I didn't know that we have an organization that's been in the sense for quite some time. You know,
that's better.
It's good to know that there's an organization like ours, you know, and the things that they're doing, and sounds like she knows what she's talking about. And just like Dr. Patrick have said, you know, we need to encourage everyone to attend this kind of meetings, you know. And, you know, I think United Kingdom commended Zambia, and the United States commended Zambia. It's not because of the president, it's because of the discussion that's what's going on, and we need to continue having discussions and attending meetings and having dialogue. So thank you, Vanessa, for bringing her to discussion, and hopefully when I visit Zambia, I'm going to visit their organization.
That's good. I like that reasoning. Please do go and see them when you go there. Sit down with them and have a discussion with them. And, of course, you know, this is part of our objective here at Zambia Blog Talk Radio, is to highlight things that which mainline media would not highlight. Because there are a lot of players who are political process, and most of us tend to think that. I always remember Matilda, one of the statements that Mr. Elias Chikomo made when he came on this show. He said, the problem is we tend to think that those who are making the most noise or the loudest in the community are the ones who are doing the work. No, that's not always the case. Most of the work is actually done behind the scenes. And Zambia Center for Interparty Dialogue, I think, is one such organization that has been. Can you imagine getting together all these political party leaders? We shouldn't even just say how difficult it is in Africa, but even we've seen for ourselves wherever we live, whether you're in Australia, those of us in the United States, those in Europe, how difficult that process can be. And that's why I asked the question, Dr. Patrick. I said, do the political parties honor the resolutions and things that are agreed upon in dialogues, in those meetings? You know, it's a very difficult process, because if people cannot respect the Constitution, how are they going to honor things that are talked about in meetings, Dr. Patrick, where the process of governance is being discussed?
That's correct. That is 100% correct. And it's needed to be done, and it's needed to be engaged.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Anyway, excellent. One of the issues that she brought up, Matilda, which is going to be the subject of our discussion in the next segment, is the issue of gender equality or gender equity. And she talked about, you know, she mentioned the thing that goes on in most African countries where women are just made to dance at the airport or receiving political parties. What is the significance of women playing a significant role in the political process, Matilda?
It's important for women to play a role. Women should not be discounted for any reason, you know. There's a lot that women bring to the table. I was thinking about the resistance that Hillary Clinton got here in the United States, and I would unfortunately say some of the churches did not want to support her because their doctrine was that women should not lead, should not be a pastor. If she can't be a pastor, she cannot be a president. But when we look at Africa, we have at least, three or four women who are presidents, and their countries are doing well, you know. We have the German chancellor who's a woman, and Germany seems to be doing fine. So we need to be embracive. Embracive, my goodness, is there a word? We have to embrace these things and being part of the strategy being part of organizing people and not mm-hmm. just being in the background, but also being in the forefront. Sometimes you find a lot of things, it was because it was organized by women, but then the men get the credit. That's fine. You know, those things happen. You can't always get the spotlight. But we should also be accepted. We should also be embraced in the whole system of from beginning, middle to end. You know, whatever role, low, middle, high. It shouldn't be like be sidelined. You know.
That's very true. That's one of the things that she addressed is she mentioned that. excuse me. She mentioned the fact that the Constitutional Court has had, still has a lot of pending cases which have been appealed in its what do you call it, that need to be addressed, and they are still pending and have not been the word I'm trying to say is that how detrimental is this to the process of democracy, Bachisewe?
Wow, it's not a good thing, Vanessa, and I'm glad that you picked up that one too. And I wanted to. I was looking forward if you asked that if she, like they have found out that you know there's a lot of cases that are pending. Who do they go to try? Because that's just like you pointed out. You know, now which organization do we tend to? Who do we look? Where can we take that case so it can be resolved and the country can move forward? I don't know. I don't know where to answer there. I think maybe keep dialogue like this, and people like Dr. Patrick maybe, and we had lawyer from Canada who wrote to when we had a problem with HH, and some of us maybe we need to write to someone and say, look at this. I don't know if we can appeal to the Congress of the United States and say we need help. Because if we continue going like this, you know, there's no way we can have a rule of law. You know, it's a good thing you pointed out, Vanessa. And it's something that needs to be taken seriously.
Yeah, it's very, very important because Dr. Patrick, and I'm glad that she wasn't mincing her words. One of the issues she also addressed, Dr. Patrick, you heard that she talked about the independence of the Electoral Commission. This is the Electoral Commission of Zambia, which has been, this last election around, oh my goodness, it was just something else. I don't even know what has happened. I know that one of the officials there was replaced. This is the media person. Dr. Patrick, is it possible to have an Electoral Commission which is independent?
It is possible, but I think we lost our chance and our opportunity when we didn't address that when the Constitution was being revised. And now that it's been revised, to revisit certain sections of the Constitution may be very difficult. I think the only way you can actually revise it is going back to the constituency. The constituency of all of Zambia, and that would have to be put on a platform in order to address it and in order to change it. So if it is the will of the people, then it can be changed. But if it's not the will of the people and it's less than 50% willingness to do this, then you won't be able to change it.
Yeah. Just as a matter of interest, how is the, I think we have the, in the U.S. we have the federal electoral, what do they call it? Then I think at state level and what do you call it? County level, how is it structured in the U.S., Dr. Patrick?
Yeah, you have a multi-layer of federal administration. You have the national, which is federal. Then you have the state government. Then you have the local municipalities or city government. And it usually bubbles up, and they usually bubbles up to the level of wanting to, one, change the municipality, that's the local government, the mayor.
Yes.
And if this is changed, then that may be able to be bubbled up to the state government, that's the governors. And if you have the respective legislative parties in the government, at the government level, if that passes, then it may be able to bounce to other governments and then ultimately to the federal level, which would be your House of Representatives, the Senate, and ultimately the President.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, that is amazing. It's something else. Brother Lazarus, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you today, brother?
Doing good. Thank you for joining us. I don't know whether you are listening online or you're just calling in. We were looking at the structure of our guest just addressed the issue of having an independent electoral commission in Zambia. And I was just asking Dr. Patrick here, yeah, how possible is that? And then we looked at how the electoral process administration is structured in the U.S. Could you share with us how it is structured in Scotland? How is the electoral process structured?
Here in the UK, the electoral process is quite different, I think, compared to the U.S. and I think Zambia as well. Here, the process mostly handled through the councils.
Okay.
The councils have structures already in place that run throughout the 365 days. These have already been put in place. So when it comes now to elections, the elections are actually done in smaller places like schools, mainly schools actually. That's where you go for voting, and these are done by the council. They are the ones who organize this. These people, they work throughout the year. So they don't wait for the time of elections that they start, you know, establishing electoral commission and all that stuff, no. These are already in place. These are structures that continue existing throughout the year. This is why there's a period when they have to register for those for general elections, and then the others have to be registered for other elections. This gives a scenario whereby political parties don't have to go, don't have to get so much involved like in other countries where you have the elections being actually being, you know, influenced by the electoral process being influenced by political parties. As a result, you find that the people that are organizing these are civil servants who are not partisan. But in situations where there's poor democracy and in other countries, you find that the ruling party plays a bigger role in even finding who is going to be preparing the ballot boxes, ballot papers, and all this, which is supposed to be here in the UK done already by the council. So you don't have to go outside the country or outside your state to go and have the ballot boxes made there or ballot papers printed in Dubai or by other countries. No, the council does that.
I am glad that you've mentioned that, Brother Lazarus, because two things here. Civil servants who are not supposed to be partisan, or you see, that is very critical in this situation, because we can speak for the part of the world that we are in. Like you have said, it's done by city council and things like that. The process of registering voters, how is it done in the UK? Because I know here, Dr. Patrick, I think how is it done? I'm trying to remember. It's an ongoing process, in other words. It's not like you have an exercise for people to register as voters. How is it in the UK?
In the UK, when a child reaches an age that is considered legal for voting, the child received in the post a registration form. My son reached the age of 16 here in Scotland. It's different from England. He received the letter through the post for registering as a voter. So this is all by the council. These the civil servants, the council who work there, the people working in the council are civil servants. This is their job. They wake up every day, 365 days, they go to work. And their job is to deal with this particular event. So when a child, they know every child. When the child reaches a certain stage where they are eligible to vote, they get in the post a registration form. And they'll be getting a poll card whenever there is either council elections or general elections. So this has nothing to do with, you know, spending so much money all of a sudden because the elections are coming to establish all this. These are done very systematically, and I don't see a reason why in Zambia we can't do that. We can do that because the people that do that, the people that work in those institutions are not PhD holders. They are ordinary people, people with very basic education. However, the PhD holders plan those things. They plan. But the people that work on the ground are ordinary people.
That's true.
The situation in Zambia, which we can learn from the UK, for example, I feel is that there must be proper ethical conduct of civil servants in relation to politics. And this must be taken very seriously, that any breach of such kind of ethics must be subjected to incarceration.
Coming up on top of the hour in 7 minutes here is open forum. We'll be looking at sexual harassment, and we'll also be looking at the slavery in Libya. And everybody, I would like you to call back in and let's examine this issue critically. We'll be looking at it in the, well, of course, we use the context of issues happening in the U.S. We've seen a lot of people, men, being exposed on their and becoming sexual harassment behaviors from Hollywood to the corridors of power in Congress and Senate. Matilda, good morning, Dr. Kalonde. Welcome. Matilda, to Lazarus's point about his son becoming of age to vote and receiving something in the mail to register, what does that speak of our system in terms of data management? Because I know death certificates are issued. I remember when Natasha was born, I went and registered and got a birth certificate at the Registrar of Society through the City Council. What does that say to our data management process?
I think some things have... the system has been lost. I am not old enough, but I am, I'm not old enough to remember this, but still at the same time, old enough to remember other people experiencing this. I believe in the, late 60s and 70s, early 70s, mid-70s, when people graduated from school, there was already a list of who the graduates were and that they needed to go for national training. Remember that? You know? So if they knew that this person from this village, from this city, has graduated school and did not show up to national service, they look for them. How do they know? We didn't have computers. Maybe the way it was done could have been, there could have been some Hitler tendencies. I don't know. But we were still able to keep track when who was doing what and so on. In this information age, with IT, with people more exposed to education, we should be able to maintain a system to where we know that in this we do we conduct census. So if we have departments that are saying, okay, there should be somebody reaching the age of 16 in this household, the age of 18, the age of such and such, we send out mailers or we send out groups in these places to talk to them or go to schools. if they were able to do that during Chiluba's campaign, I remember that, you know, they were able to talk to the 18-year-olds and to say, hey, you are 18 this year, we are going to be 18, you need to vote, you need to register, this is how the registration process goes. We can move a step further than that and send out mailers like Balazarus has explained.
It's a very critical that the process is reformed. 2-3 minutes to the top of the hour as we get into the discussion of the issue of sexual harassment and everything else. But you say we are going to have another voter registration exercise when we get close to 2021. You are guaranteed that. I don't know. I think that process needs to be reformed. Your thoughts?
I think you put it right, you know. And listening to Brother Lazarus, I hope someday you get involved in changing the system there in back home, you know. And I visited Scotland when my friend was getting a PhD in Edinburgh, and the first parliament I attended, you know, because when he was in class, I went to the parliament, and I found those people are very enlightened, you know. They were debating about immigrants, you know, and someone was raising the issue about immigrants without even, you know, just because they saw that they needed to be represented. There were some of them, they didn't know what was going on, you know. And that just blew my mind, you know. Scotland, when it comes I don't know if you can call civil servant or whatever, I think they're very dedicated to their people, you know. So I don't know how to answer your question about Nathan, but I'm just looking forward to that someday we'll have Lazarus get involved in these things back home.
He would like to do that just like all of us. You know, they won't allow him. I am preserving Dr. Kalonde's energy and the power and the passion for our next segment. All right, everybody, let's go back in on top of the hour here as we get into discussions on sexual harassment and the slavery in Libya. We thank our guest, Mrs. Monica Kanjimana, Executive Director, Zambia Center for Interparty Dialogue. And let's go back in. Uh-huh.